Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of the Church TechCast Q&A show. On today's show, cheap projectors, too much reverb, and easy worship. Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of the ChurchTechCast.com Q&A show. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm, of course, your host today. And I'd love for you to join the conversation. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, or you'll see my Twitter name right below my chin right there. If you're watching the video, if you're listening to the audio, it's Paul Allen Clifford, PaulAllanClif, only one F. There, trying to save some letters on the Twitter name so that when you send me questions, you have the maximum amount there. Before we get started, I do want to acknowledge that I do have a couple of people to thank for the show. First off, I want to thank churchstreaming.tv. They provide all the streaming bandwidth for the stream here at all the churchtechcast.com shows. So if you would like a 1 month free trial of their service to see if it's right for you, then head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/churchstreaming, and they would be happy to give you a trial. And you'll see that for their flat rate pricing model, they just provide quite a lot. And you know that since it's a flat rate pricing model, you will not have a surprise bill at the end of the month just because a bunch of your people couldn't make it through the snow or went on vacation. Whatever the reason for your bandwidth spike, you won't see a spike in your bill. So that's something that churches really, really appreciate when they can budget from month to month and know that they've got it taken care of. Also, they provide iOS, Android streaming, a Roku channel, etc. So that's just some of the advantages of using churchstreaming.tv. Also, I'd love for you to check out my pastor's book. What Life Are You Waiting For is his book that releases, as I'm recording this, it's the last day of February. I think it's going to release in early April. So we're not very far out. It's a Tyndale House published book. So this isn't a five-page pamphlet. This is a pretty substantial book about pursuing your dreams and following the calling that God has for you on your life. So head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/whatlife. There's a mistake here in the graphic. For whatever reason, What Life book isn't redirecting, but What Life will. So head over there and you can pre-order on Amazon today. So let's get started with your questions. I've got a bunch of them and I'm so excited to answer them. The first question that I have is from Ben Kinsey over on the Google Plus Church Tech Group, and he asks, any suggestions for a projector? $300 is my budget. $300 is a pretty low end of the budgetary range for a projector. Now, I won't say it's impossible. There are $300 projectors out there. I'm just not sure that you're going to get a better projector, which is what you're trying to do, for that range. So that's the first area of concern. When my church started 15 years ago, we bought a 2,000 lumen projector for $15,000, and it was amazingly expensive. You know, $15,000 was a lot of money back then. Well, it's still a lot of money today. Happily, for $1,000 or thereabouts, you can get about the same level of projector. I don't know exactly what you have, but I think that I would see in talking with him, it looks like someone else brought in a projector and it was better than the one that he has, so he's trying to upgrade. So I would find out what they had and then look for the specs of that and see what you can get. See if you can get one used, because it's possible that you can get one like the one that someone brought in and it would be fine used or refurbished or something, and you can get one for less money. I think, though, $300 is a little scant for what you're looking at. If you had three times that, I think you could probably get something, depending on what you have. Because if you've already got a 3,000 lumen projector and you're trying to upgrade, and you've got about $1,000, you really don't have enough money. But if you've got a 1,000 lumen projector, then you could maybe find something. So that's what I would recommend. Next, Josh Bryan, again on the Church Tech group on Google+, says, "Howdy from Texas, all. I have an audio question, if I may ask. We have a fellowship hall that is ideal for showing movies, simulcast, etc., but there is a huge reverb problem. The room is very echoey. I assume it's because the floor is painted concrete and the audio just bounces all around. Is there a way to resolve this echoey audio reverb issue in there without spending a bunch of money on carpet and curtains on the walls?" So you could hire an audio engineer, and that person would probably be able to tell you ideal placement for everything to get the best bang for your buck. You're definitely going to want to look at the corners, look at any parallel surfaces, because if audio bounces off of one thing and hits the other and then bounces back and forth, that's going to cause all kinds of problems. So those are the places that I would think about putting things. You can do carpets, you can do curtains, you can do banners. Any of those aren't going to hurt, probably help some. You can make do-it-yourself sound panels that will somewhat deaden the space. If you go to an HVAC contractor and look for, I'm blanking on what it's called exactly, but basically it is insulation. It's an insulation board, probably a couple of inches thick. Cover that with some fabric, hang it on the wall, and people will think that you're decorating, when in fact what you're doing is knocking down some of the echo. That's not ideal, but you don't have a very big budget, so that's where I would start. Also, look and see if there's anyone getting rid of something that you can repurpose. So if there's a local theater that's getting rid of some of their curtains, ching, that's a good thing that you can use. If there's a large space that's ripping out some carpet, it might be worth having some carpet that you can just roll out onto the floor temporarily, keep that in storage when you're not using it, and that will certainly help, and it'll make the space more comfortable. So look at those as options, since you really don't have a lot of money to work with. Ideally, you'd have an acoustic engineer come in, and there are a lot of things that you could do if that was the case, but it's not. Okay, again, Brandon Kinsey asks, "Anyone use Easy Worship? I am new to our church, and this is the software they use. Any tips or tricks or a link to some hints?" So a lot of people were saying, hey, use this, hey, use that, and none of those were helping with Easy Worship. Here's what I know about Easy Worship. It's been a few years, and I know that they were working on some of these issues, so if the information I know is outdated, I apologize. But Easy Worship was designed for worship, not for sermon notes. So it wants to have an even number of lines. So if you just type stuff in, it will automatically center that, making it as even as possible and not leaving like an orphan line. So that's a bit of an issue if you're doing sermon notes, because it'll start to look like worship, you know, either centered or off to the left or right, but it'll be even and it'll change. You can get around that by importing directly from PowerPoint, but the problem with that is that PowerPoint doesn't support motion backgrounds and outline text, or at least it didn't. And what Easy Worship is doing is it's not importing the words so that you can edit them. No, it's importing the presentation, and then when the time comes, it switches over to PowerPoint Viewer. So you're actually still using PowerPoint, you're just using the Easy Worship interface on top of PowerPoint so that you can work with it that way. So those are some of the limitations. It does do text over video, it does do outline text, Easy Worship I mean. It also has a better interface for someone who's running a presentation than PowerPoint does. So I would absolutely just spend some time playing with it and trying to figure out its idiosyncrasies. I think the last version is Easy Worship 2009, which is, they really shouldn't have named it by year because they don't bring out updates every year. So it feels like it's really dated, whereas if they'd call it Easy Worship 3 or something, you'd say, oh yeah, it's just Easy Worship 3. So that's what I know about them. I do know I've talked to the programmer of Easy Worship, and he's a nice guy. I've talked to one of their marketing people and said, hey, you really have an opportunity to take it up a notch. And I don't think that they're trying to make it, like, ProPresenter has modules that can make regular ProPresenter more like a character generator software. So they're aiming towards the mid-sized church market as well as the lower-end church market. Easy Worship feels like they're aiming at the lower-end church market, if that makes any sense. And I hope that bit of information helps you as well. Nick Maltby, again on the Church Tech Google Plus group, asks, questions. How do you all label your soundboard in regard to the channels that can change based on who is leading or playing specific instruments? I've been thinking about creating labels with small fridge magnets, but wasn't sure if that would cause harm to the board. Any thoughts? Small fridge magnets would work absolutely well. What we typically use is, we call it board tape, but it goes by a couple of other names, either artist tape or paper tape, and it's tape that is paper, but it's not like masking tape where it's kind of rough and thin. It's actually a thicker paper, not quite to cardstock, but thicker than regular photocopy type paper. And so you can rip it very easily. The adhesive isn't super strong, kind of like masking tape. So you can put it down right on what you want to do and then change it. Either way is fine. We don't use magnets because our personnel change quite a lot. We've got several teams is what I mean. And occasionally someone new will cycle in, and so that's probably not as good. Now, you can do it by instrument if that helps. If you wanted to have, you know, like worship leader one, worship leader two, background vocal one, background vocal two, lead guitar, acoustic guitar, bass guitar, drums, those kinds of things, that might be a more permanent solution for you instead of names. But names might be more the way that you work. It just really matters how your mind is set up. So Andrew Birchfield says, researching new HD cameras for iMag/Livestream. What's the buzz? Anyone have good suggestions? It really depends on your budget. I think The ones we use at church are Panasonic ones. They're Panasonic ENG style cameras, and they work really well, but they're more high-end than a lot of churches are able to spend money on. So that's the downside of them. I think I'd absolutely make sure that you can get a zoom and focus control on the handles, because there's nothing worse than having to stand up and reach forward and turn the lens to get what you want, when you can just stand there and as you're panning, as you're tilting, as you're zooming, you can focus, etc. So I would absolutely recommend that piece of the puzzle. When it comes to a switcher, again, it depends on your budget. Someone recommended Wirecast, and there is a little latency in my Wirecast setup, at least. So you'll notice I'm not wearing headphones. I would prefer to wear headphones just to monitor my sound, and it has bit me before, but there's just enough latency that it's very distracting. So I hear myself like half a second later. So that might be causing you some problems for the iMag side of things. For the live stream, not a problem at all. I know Blackmagic's ATEM television studio is generally a pretty good setup for that, and I don't know why. I cannot keep in my mind what the name of the system is that used to be Video Toaster. But it's what they use at This Week in Tech, and a lot of churches use it. It's actually built on a computer, so I don't like it as much as a dedicated hardware kind of system, but it does record and it does stream. So that's something that you could look at as well. And if I happen to remember it during the show, I'll pop it back up. Okay, over on churchmedia.net... Someone asks, looks like I didn't copy down his or her name, I'm sorry about that, but they're from Columbus, Mississippi. They ask, The Vision, hey everyone, I would love to see your responses to the following two questions. What is your purpose for serving in the media technology ministry? What is your vision as the leader of this ministry in your church? Thanks. Okay, so basically, I can't stand it if what is going on stage cannot be seen or heard. Can't stand it. It drives me nuts. And so as a result, I am here to facilitate the presentation of the Word of God to help transform unconvinced people into wholehearted followers of Jesus. Now, you might be thinking, well, Paul, that sounds like you've got that written down. Not exactly, but that is kind of what is just smack dab in the middle of my heart every day as I serve at church. I just love being able to be a part of changing lives and eternities. So that's why I do what I do. That's why I'm doing this, to help everyone out there, the people in the chat room like Justin and Preston, and just everyone I can, to help them be as effective as they can be. So that is my purpose, and that's the vision of what I do. So I hope that helps. It can never just be something to help out. It can't. It can't be, oh, they needed me, so I can do it. No, I get to do this. I get to wake up early on Sunday mornings. I get to stay late on Saturday nights. It is a gift to me that's where Jesus has called me to serve. It just is. So that's what's in my mind as I'm serving. And when it's hard, I just remember all the all my brothers and sisters in China or in Muslim countries that have it much worse than I do, and I think, I get to play on a computer, for God. How can this ever be bad? I mean, even when I, once or twice I've had to stay up all night to make what I do happen, that's not bad. I'm not being tortured, that's not bad. So, I think that's a very important piece of the puzzle, to have a both an I can't stand it when what I do doesn't happen and I get to perspective. So GC Karts over again on churchmedia.net asks, find or train? So here's an ongoing debate around our water cooler. Do we rely on finding experts who come to us knowing how to shoot and edit quality video, run a soundboard, etc., or do we take interested novices and invest money into training programs to get them to where they can produce the quality we need? For example, I have people who want to be on our video production team but have little to no experience. I want to purchase Final Cut, tutorials, network with the local college for workshops, etc. That will mean dollars, which we are short on. What I am hearing is that I should be more focused on those already doing it who can find their own toys, but honestly, there are not too many of those folks out there. Advice. Passion matters more than ability. But ability matters more than tools. So, what I mean by all that is, if you take someone who's really interested but doesn't yet know how to do everything, if you pour into them, they will learn how to do it, and they'll be really interested. So you get both. If you take someone who's done it for 20 years and really could care less, they couldn't care less, is what I mean. They just show up because they can, but really they don't want to be there. You can't train that. So having an expert that is a bit of a know-it-all and doesn't want to be there is not as good as having someone who really sees this as a gift. But if you start out with professional equipment and hope that a novice off the street will be able to work it, you're not going to get as good results as if you start off with a professional and limiting equipment. Because the professional will wring every last bit of ability out of that kind of low-end equipment, whereas a novice won't be able to even turn the thing on. So those are on opposite ends of the spectrum, of course. Ideally, you would want a passionate, experienced person who has the best possible equipment. But since you don't have that, I think I would look for interested people and pour into them. Let's see here. Who at my church does, or before they started at our church, did what we did, what we do professionally? Me. I'm the only one. We have a team of probably 15 to 20 people, and I'm the only one who did it professionally before they came to this church. So I trained a bunch of people. Some of the people that I trained other people. So you don't necessarily have to find courses. You can do things like watch my shows here. You can go to conferences. You can, a lot of times passionate people will pay their own way for training. So don't let money necessarily stop you. And I just really, really want you to imagine how grateful someone who always wanted to do video, for example, but never got the opportunity to, and tries it and finds out that they were made to do it. Think about how grateful that person is going to be, how they're much more likely to stick around for the long term than the person that, kind of wants to be there, kind of wants not to be there. Do you see the advantage? So I think I would definitely pour into whoever is interested. Will they all stay forever? No. Will a lot of them stay and get to the point where they're professional quality? Yep. So I think that's what I would do. We have a guy right now who, as soon as I have enough money in this company, in this ministry that I'm doing, I would hire him to be my camera guy. I would. Do you know what he does for a living? Landscaping. He does landscaping, but he has a great eye for camera work. So I would hire him to do this. Absolutely, without hesitation, I would hire him to do this. And that's what you want to do. You want to find people and train them up so that they are professional quality. Don't wait for professionals to show up. And by the way, once you have a certain level of quality, that will attract professionals. So when I showed up at our church, it was about a year after we started, and there were a couple of people that had video backgrounds. Now, they left right after, not long after I got there, but their work attracted me. And then I stayed, and my work attracted others. Do you see how that works? So good quality attracts more good quality. But start with what you've got, absolutely. Mix and match. Try and be about training up the next generation. There's probably a bunch of teens that would love to do it. And you can build into them. Don't give them too much, by the way. Someone who's 15 won't be able to pay attention during the entirety of the message and be there when they're absolutely needed if there's something that comes up. But they can assist someone, and then eventually in a couple years, maybe they're ready to take over. So that's what I would do. So I don't see any other questions in the chat room. I'll throw it over to Justin and Preston if they want to throw out any other questions. But in the meantime, let me remind you that if you have questions, feel free to head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. I've got all my contact information there. My email address, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com. Also, my toll-free number, 1-877-763-3246. That's 1-877-POD-ECHO to echo back to this podcast, because this is a podcast and it's available over on trinitydigitalmedia.com/podcast, along with all the other podcast shows, which right now there are four. Creating Church, I'm still trying to decide what I'm going to do with, since using it as a course hasn't seemed to worked out. So if you have any questions or comments, feel free to leave those there. Looks like there are no questions in the chat room. So until next week, which right now I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm pondering some ideas, and I'll have the entire next week's schedule lined out along with the following weeks in March then. So until then, what I really want you to do is go out and change eternity. Till then, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.